Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I'm joined by Heather Black from Supermums. Supermums are starting in the ANZ region very soon, so this was a great opportunity to hear more about Heather, her entry into the Salesforce world, the role she's played ever since, and also to find out more about the Supermums initiative. Supermums are helping people transition into the Salesforce ecosystem, so this was really interesting to find out more about the skill sets and careers that Heather has seen transition really well. And we look at how she and her team and business take people from rookie to ready to hire in the Salesforce ecosystem. Heather explains and talks us through some of the success stories that they've seen and what she hopes to achieve in the ANZ region. So yeah, really exciting episode. Great to have Heather as a guest and really looking forward to seeing what Supermums achieve in the ANZ region. Hopefully you get a lot out of this episode. And if you do, please subscribe for future episodes that are coming through. So Heather, thanks so much for joining me. As I was just saying, first time I've ever had a podcast host on the podcast, so a little bit nervous my side today.
No worries, absolutely fine. I'll be interested to see how you do it and I can learn some tips from you.
Yeah, that's it. On top performance, hopefully. But look, we've got a lot to run through, so I'm really excited to hear that Supermums is coming to ANZ, and that kind of got me thinking about having a chat, and I'm keen to understand more about that business. But let's start before Salesforce and before you fell into this ecosystem. And I did see an interesting post you put up on LinkedIn this week about having a business that, due to the economy and the world around you, kind of forced your hand into setting up another business. So can you tell me a bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. So I started a coaching business back in 2005, which coached young people to set up their own businesses and to develop their careers. So it's a career and business coaching company for young people. And I was using Salesforce for that company to manage it. And we quickly scaled. It was an amazing experience that I took the business from 100K to 1.2 million in a year, basically. There was a lot of government funding around that time, a lot of money being ploughed into supporting young people to be entrepreneurial, to develop their careers, you know, really living the dream and riding that wave, because there was, you know, loads of opportunity and loads of policies around supporting young people to really fulfill their ambitions at that point. And I was 25 at the time, so I was kind of like seen as the young entrepreneur leading the way for other young entrepreneurs. So did a lot of speaker events, spoke at a lot of universities, education, etc. So it was really sort of a great experience. And I love coaching. And I set up a coaching company because I'd had career coaching at 25 in the job that I was in, because I couldn't quite work out where the balance, you know, why I wasn't enjoying exactly what it was and needed help figuring that out. And I think a lot of people in their 20s go through that. You know, you kind of come out of university all geared up and ready to go, and then it doesn't quite fulfill it, and you're sat there pondering, well, where do I go next and what do I do? So it's really the fault of the career coaching that ended up starting a business and being self-employed 15 years later.
Sure.
Fast forward to where we are now. Back in 2010, the government changed in the UK, and so a lot of the funding streams disappeared overnight, and the way that they contracted out programs made it very difficult for relatively smaller organizations in the space. And so I was left with basically a business that had been doing extremely well to one that was really then struggling. And I tried for a couple of years, but it was just really difficult to get funding, and there was a lot of politics in the sector and backstabbing. It wasn't particularly very nice sort of environment to be in, because everybody was struggling because of the change. And I'd really loved, to be fair, I'd really loved Salesforce. And I'd been thinking around, I've seen how Salesforce has helped grow my nonprofit massively. Like, I couldn't have grown it without Salesforce. It was so instrumental to help me measure my impact, to help me manage a team of 40 that I had, and to sort of track all the work we were doing with young people. And I'd sort of fallen in love with learning how to administrative and build it and sort of report on it. So I always had this inkling, well, what else can I do? And my partner and I had a long distance relationship, because he lived overseas. So he'd always wanted to come back. If he was going to come back to the UK, he wanted to live by the sea. You were going to have kids. So it was all that needing more flexibility. And so that's where Salesforce sort of presented it as a viable career option to me. I was like, okay, well, I can earn well. I actually do love using Salesforce. I didn't really know what necessarily a whole career trajectory looked like, which I'm sure we'll talk about more on the show, like how I then upskilled in that area and what it takes to kind of become a Salesforce professional, if you like.
Sure.
But started that journey to go, okay, well, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to change career. I'm going to be techie. Never been techie before. But for me, I wanted to help other nonprofits use Salesforce well, which felt something that I knew. I knew how to help nonprofits measure their impact and deliver programs because it's something I'd done before, using my coaching skills to support that journey. So there was half of this new career that I felt very familiar with and half that was kind of like, we'll learn by doing and kind of skill up.
Sure. So what did you step into then? Was that another business that you formed to set up the Salesforce consulting arm, working with more not-for-profits, or did you go into like an admin role to upskill?
Good question. So because I've been running this nonprofit at the time, I'd had the privilege of really sort of getting my hands dirty with Salesforce to build it out for the company that I was running and use it in every sort of way possible. So I'd had sort of those 2 years hands-on experience. But before, to be fair, I made the leap to set up an official company as a Salesforce consultant. I pitched my skills to some of the nonprofits I was working with, did a few projects and sort of tested the market a little bit, tested whether I really liked it, tested what the project was like working with them. So did a few projects to sort of go, you know, is this a viable business, if you like, for me to set up on my own as opposed to go and work for somebody else. I was in a position where I was pregnant. So, you know, getting a job probably would have been, you know, it's always harder if you're in that thing of sort of, you know, I sort of made that choice to go, well, I'll freelance and become an independent consultant. So setting up a company wasn't about growing a team at that point. It was around just me having a legal entity to trade as me as a freelance consultant. Sure. And that's what I did for a couple of years. So I was working 3 days a week, 4 days a week the second year, managing that alongside looking after my mum, who was terminally ill at that point, and also my young daughter that I'd had. And after a couple of years was like, okay, well, actually this is possible, but actually I was having more work than I could manage myself, which is when I decided to sort of grow the company beyond me.
Sure. Okay, cool. And that business is still running, but the kind of business that you're about to launch in ANZ, Supermums. Now, I guess I don't really need to ask where the idea came from, because you sounded like you were a superwoman at the time in terms of everything you had going on and running a business, managing a family and still delivering an output for your clients. But is it an obvious point? Like where did that idea for Supermums come from?
So I'm always thinking about ideas. I'm quite entrepreneurial, let's face it. So because my background was running a company that helped people into employment, when I chose to do a Salesforce career around flexibility and I think that the whole flexibility thing came when me and my husband went traveling for 4 months and I was able to work flexibly in the camper van in the evening, sort of still earning income. It was like, yes, we can do this from anywhere, it's fine. So I was in Australia and New Zealand living the dream and working and earning whilst we were traveling, which was perfect actually, because the UK time zones work really well. Like you can be out all day and then you work at night. So it's great. And so that whole flexibility. So that's actually when I was on that trip, I was like, you know what, this could work. You could get other mums into this space. But I felt like I had to live it out first. And I also really wanted to get my consultancy to a point that it could provide work experience to people that we were going to train up. So I really sat on that idea for basically the best part of maybe 4 years to the point that we could get it to where it felt like the right time to do it.
Yeah, nice.
That's when we did Supermums in 2016.
So you were doing the whole flexible working thing way before COVID, because everyone seems to be, you know, scampering around trying to work out how they enable their teams to be flexible now. But you'd nailed that way back when you were traveling.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Like, I think one of the things I did notice in the role that I was playing at that point is if you're doing BA work, which is business analysis, it is great to be in an office with somebody and to have those face-to-face conversations. It adds another layer. So I think if you're going to be in a BA role, there is real value in that. It's not essential. Like, we're doing BA work now virtually, and it is absolutely possible. And I've done a big US project, which has all been virtual. But I do like being in a workshop space with people as well. So I'm never going to be somebody that can work remotely at home full time, and I'm struggling, you know, a little bit by just being boxed up in my room every day. Sure. And it's one of the reasons why I bring my team beyond me, because I was like, I just don't want it to be me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be stuck in my office. I was starting to get really itchy feet, and that's when I really wanted to grow the team.
Sure. So who is Supermums suitable for? Like, what kind of people do you think you can help along their journey?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting question. So when we went out and I was like, well, I'm going to advertise this to mums, how do we talk about it? And it's very hard to say if you've got a professional background, it's suitable, because literally I don't see it necessarily as a professional background. I think one of the things is, if you've got a process-driven mind, like, you know, if you come into a company or an organisation and you like process, you know what you're doing every single step, and that you're working with a system and you enjoy that and it's triggering things for you, or you like data analytics, like, you know, the reports and, you know, measuring success of things. It's those traits that I think are really valuable. And my thrill, and I was on a design workshop with one of my team this week, it's like, oh, I'm cleaning everything up. Like, it feels like cleaning a house. You know, I just get this whole like, real thing. It's like, it's cleaning up people's processes. It's like, because if people say to you, what, how does that work, you're like, well, we don't really know, or we don't have consistent things. I'm like, oh, okay, right, well, we need to, you know, create consistency, you know, we need to have a very clear process, everybody knows how they're working. And it's that mentality that you need. So we've had people join the program who've been PAs, you know, in past lives, or they've been teachers or lawyers or doctors, or, you know, every sort of walk of life to some degree. And I think what's important from a Salesforce perspective, you don't need any level of education necessarily to walk in Salesforce. So on Supermums, we don't discriminate, but we will have a conversation with you to understand who you are, what you hope to get out of it, how you kind of, what you enjoy about work and what you don't, just to help understand if it's the right thing for you. Because what we don't want is somebody to launch into it and be like, not. So we get people to do trailheads and stuff along the way, because I think that helps them to understand what the product is at least, and get a feel for it before they kind of commit to a whole career.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. Like, it really confuses me when I get someone that contacts me and says, I'm looking for a job in Salesforce and I've heard all about Salesforce, I'm really keen to work in Salesforce. And I say, well, what have you done to work out if you would actually enjoy working in Salesforce? And some people haven't even played around with Trailhead, yet they think that they're going to love this career in Salesforce.
Yeah, so we did a 5-day challenge. So people download a pack from our Supermums website. We get them doing a 5-day challenge that helps them figure out what a career is, you know, and it's watching a keynote from Mark Benioff, who's the CEO of Salesforce, and what does it stand for, to doing a couple of Trailheads, to reading some Trailhead profiles. And so we encourage people to kind of work through that, to kind of feel what it's all about and get a better sense for themselves.
Yeah, that's great. So obviously, like, one of my frustrations is we see that there is a resistance to give people an opportunity in the market. So you're doing an amazing thing, because we need more people. And without companies like yourselves, you know, it's very hard to get an opportunity in the market. So how do you take someone, let's say a doctor or a PA, or how do you take them, they've never worked in an IT environment before, from rookie to ready for hire?
Yeah, no, sure, Ben. So my background before I obviously launched a Salesforce consultancy was running this career and coaching business. And before that, I was evaluating employment and business startup programs across the UK, looking at what made things work effectively to get people into employment and business. So I've been in this industry from when I left university in 2000. And what I realized is it's not just training, you know, and what you see in the market place, people go, oh, I've done my trailheads and I've got my admin right, can I have a job? And it's like, well, you need more than that to get a job. And so with Supermums, I didn't want to make that mistake of just delivering admin training. So we talk about the 9 ingredients to success. So we have our virtual training program, which is all virtual, and it's 16 hours a week. And so obviously we've got the training component, but what we do each week is we assign people a mentor on our admin course, and that mentor, we get them building out a part of a dummy system each week, which is a case study. And the mentor goes and checks what they've done, helps make sure they've understood and tick off that competency. And if they haven't quite got it, sort of talk it through with them. And then they submit a homework record each week to say that they've done it. So we really, really want to make sure that they've understood something properly and developed it out beyond Trailhead into a DevOrg. and that they understand what that is. And so that gives us a quality assurance that we know that they've got it, but they've had somebody one-to-one help them if they've not quite got it. And then after they've done that for 3 months, we put them on work experience. So we don't put them on work experience until they've ticked off everything and the mentor has assured their homework, because we don't want to put them on a live client-facing project unless we know that they can do things properly. And on the client-facing project, they are working with a consultancy team. So in Australia, we're going to be working with Alpha System, and they're providing work experience to our trainees on the programme. So they work as part of a team, and they do bits of the build for the nonprofit organisation that the nonprofit doesn't pay for. So we're able to provide better value to the nonprofits, and that gives them that whole rounded experience. And then to layer on top of that, we provide career coaching, which is all about tackling some of those softer skills, like the imposter syndrome and the confidence to sort of walk into something new. So we help them really build their confidence, self-esteem, motivation, all the way through that journey with fortnightly coaching sessions. And then we do a final study group, because after they've done the 6 months of training, it can be quite daunting for them to take the exam.
Yeah.
Like they seem to, some people take it straight away. Some people take it during the 6 month course, but for others, they're like, oh, you know, it's more scary. So we started a sort of an after study group to get people kind of over the line, booking their exam dates and do that. And then we support them into employment through employment readiness support. We do some recruitment side, but also we work with recruitment partners to kind of get them to employment too.
Yeah, nice. And that really is end to end. You know, you're not leaving any stone left unturned. That confidence part, that must be a massive factor, because, you know, a lot of these people have had a career before. So it's not their first job. And therefore, I think as time goes by, your confidence sometimes dips, right? The longer, like kids are super confident. And when I walked into my first job, even though I'd never done it before, I was super confident. But if I had to change career now, I wouldn't be so confident, because I'm older and I understand the real world. And so how do you kind of really coach people through that? Because that must be a real challenge.
Yeah. So one of the things that we remind people of, and we remind them actually this of every single session, is that you will go through a learning dip. And that is normal for anybody learning anything, even if it's sat on a 1 hour course. You'll kind of got to start kind of quite confident. Yeah, this will be great. And then you'll kind of dive, doing a bit of a nose bomb to go, oh my gosh, can I get this? And then sort of start working up the other side. And I think the first thing we do is make them aware that there is this learning dip and it's normal, and to just see that you will come out the other side, but you've got to stay in with it. And we see those dips at a couple of points on the program, particularly. One is week three, mm-hmm. because the first 2 weeks are like, okay, you know, this is great. Third week, we challenge them a little bit more by doing some business analysis with them and get them to really think about the case study and what that case study needs. So it is more challenging, but it's a really important point, because there's no point building a system if you don't know why you're building it.
Sure.
So 3 weeks into the program, there's a wobble there sometimes. And then just before they do the work experience, live client project, again, there's like another sort of dip for them. And then when they're doing training for clients and delivering training, which we get them to do as part of this, carrying them through that work experience is really important. And then coming out the other side to get their exam. So there's naturally dips along the way, but yeah, everybody goes through that. And I think as long as you're aware of it, you can manage your emotional state.
Yeah, absolutely. Around that. And I know one thing, I follow you on LinkedIn, and I obviously read and view your videos and listen to the stories. And you're big on consulting skills, and not just for consultants, right? So having a consulting mindset or skill set is also valuable if you're going to be in an end user working in an admin role. Why do you feel that's so important?
Yeah, so I'll jump back to that point that I said earlier on around, you know, I launched into going, I'm going to be Salesforce professional. And yes, I'd built a system, piloted my, you know, Salesforce consultancy skills with other people. What I realized though, that, you know, I looked at what other people had in the industry, what other professionals had, and what the rigor was, because I hadn't got an IT degree. I mean, I don't know whether an IT degree would be the most relevant thing anyway, right? Yeah. But what I realized is there are professional disciplines that help you understand and design a system and gather requirements. So that's business analysis, like that's a professional skill set. And then there's project management and managing a project in an agile way, because inevitably, whenever you do Salesforce projects, your world's your oyster. Like you can come out with 70 requirements, but the client's never going to have enough budget for 70. So how do you get them to, what framework do you use to get them to condense that in a way that is appropriate for you and them? You know, to say, well, we're going to agree on these 30 things. And then the other things that I noticed is, you know, I'd have people who are sticklers in the workshop that are really negative about the system. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm not used to this. Like, surely you're excited. Like, why are you not excited? So I was like going, oh. So I realized that was a change management profession. So I did business analysis, agile project management, change management courses. And for me, that felt like I had the full suite to properly go in and do an end-to-end project.
Sure.
And so I make sure that anybody that comes and works for me, that I train them in those disciplines, and that we, you know, we come across really professional with professional approach and professional disciplines. Now, I've been lucky in that, you know, I've earned through doing my Salesforce work. I've paid for all my own study through what I've earned. But some people who are starting out don't necessarily have that privilege to be able to necessarily, you know, and don't necessarily need all that professionally accredited qualifications. So I launched a consultancy skills program through Supermums as well, because I really wanted to help our Supermum alumni who've gone through the program take that next step into, you know, they're going into solo admin roles, in which case skills and project management skills, they do need that suite of skills, and change management equally, all are very important. So we wanted to give it a reduction of the price of what you pay if you did all those courses separately. So I'm really loving, that's like my favorite thing in my job right now, is delivering that course virtually. And I've got somebody from Australia on it, so it's great. You know, it has gone international. I've got international students on that program. And so I think if you're going to work solo as an admin or as a consultant doing end to end, then they're the skill sets that you need.
Yeah, it's I think that must be really rewarding as well, when you see someone that, you know, hasn't necessarily had that consulting mindset, and seeing that the penny drop, right, and they understand, oh, maybe if I'd have done this differently in an environment, we'd have got a different outcome. So yeah. So what could you tell us some of the big success stories you've seen coming through the program, and what you hope to achieve in the ANZ market?
Sure. So successes, I mean, I think getting to the point where we've had over 260 trainees kind of just still blows my mind slightly. When I launched the program and had three on the first cohort, I was like, oh, is this going to sink or float? Like, where would we be? And we grew the cohorts, you know, naturally, by 3, 7, 10, 10, 20, particularly when I was lucky enough to be on the keynote world stage in London last year. That's when we basically tripled in size since then, because we got such exposure, and I got my golden hoodie, which was an amazing experience. I've got my little poster up on the wall here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, nice.
We had a big banner stand. So Salesforce have really helped promoters. They're big advocates of us. We had the film crew were down here doing a BBC film on Friday about Supermums. So we're really privileged to be in this position. I think, you know, we're seeing they help profile our mums as well. But in terms of some of our success stories, you know, I'm really proud of the diversity of mums we've got and where they've ended up. So, you know, Deborah, she had a recruitment background, incidentally, and a sales background, but now she's working at an ISV called Validity. And she started there with sort of account management and customer success. And within her first quarter, she topped the global sales. She won the global sales, making the most deals. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's so amazing. So, you know, we're getting really good people coming to the program. And one of my first cohort, Gillian, she had a bit more of a technical background, actually, in pre-sales tech at IBM, was made redundant, had three kids. Both of them had three kids. Like, I always think they're super mums more than me, because I don't know how people do it with three or more kids. But she went to work at another ISV partner, actually Aspirato, which is a fintech product. And she started on the technical sort of advice team and then was promoted to head of customer success. So she's still working there after starting back in 2017. And she got that job before she'd even finished the six-month program. So people can get jobs whilst they're doing the 16 hours a week, you know, and sort of land a job sooner. And then Emma was previously co-owned a company with a husband, actually, which was a tech product that they launched, and was more working in sales operations side. And then worked as a language translator when that work had finished. And she landed a job at Aston Martin off the back of World Tour, working on their partner community and managing their sort of sales rep. So we've had people go to work for some amazing brands, as well as some of the smaller nonprofits. You know, they've gained the flexibility and pay that they've wanted. And, you know, that's what keeps me going, keeps our whole team going, quite frankly. We're like, yes, you know, we feel like we're doing what we set out to do, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. And hopefully you'll mirror exactly the same here. And we're really excited to see that. So if any of our listeners or viewers are keen to hear more about the program, where's the best place for them to go, or where should they be reaching out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're raising awareness of Supermums in Australia. So we've had some trainees already, but we really want to kind of, we know now is a really difficult time. More people are looking for more resilient, flexible careers. So if you're interested in upskilling in Salesforce, you can head to supermums.org, hit on the training tab, and it will showcase all the different training courses that we've got available to you. So our next one starts in September. Yep. We're actively looking to recruit people from Australia and New Zealand onto that.
Amazing.
Course.
And I've got a feeling this isn't your last business as well. I'm excited to see what the future holds for other avenues and plans that you have, because I'm sure there's lots of ideas going on inside that brain.
As always. Got to build these first and then on.
That's it. Well, look, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed the chat and look forward to seeing the success mirrored over here in ANZ.
Thanks,
Thank
Ben. You. Thanks for having me on the
Cheers.
Show. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.